One of the great theologians, Paul Tillich, says, "Man is man because he is free." In terms of freedom, there is no freedom of religion on top of everything else in communist countries. Martin Luther King Jr., in his book called Strength to Love, he describes so well that I'd like to quote some of his sayings. "Communism and Christianity are fundamentally incompatible. Communism is based on materialistic and humanistic view of life and history. And communism exploits the dreadful philosophy that the end justifies the means," unquote. The Christianity insists that man is an end because he is a child of God, created in God's image. The law of love as an imperative is the norm for all of man's action, right? Amen? So I'm not an anthropologist or praising humanism. They seem to have lost their mind and confused, not realizing the sovereignty of God. I'm talking about the North Korea that who are trying to do something, so it came in my mind. So the Bible says, "Fear of the Lord is the beginning of the wisdom." Actually, this particular verse, the most frequently quoted by my mother when we pray together, and it sticks to my mind since childhood until now. So that was one of the reasons I took the first class of Proverbs taught by my professor, Longman. He was the one who taught me the Proverb class for the first one as I enrolled myself to Fuller Theological Seminary. So it was taught by him, and who also, together with some other theologians and many other authors, published the book called Imagery of the Bible, which I thoroughly enjoy reading whenever I have a question or two. So I have titled today's sermon, Seek His Face, meaning Jesus' face. We all are familiar with the verses, you know, the seek his kingdom first and then everything will be given unto you, right? So it sounded a bit prosperity gospel to me. So therefore, I trust we need to see God's face. Jesus is actually the king, and we ought to strive for the kingdom of God. And I do not recommend you to imagine suffering Jesus on the cross, but as a king who reigns and eventually, what? Resurrected as a king and be a victor. So God is gracious to those who love him. We all know our first commandment, love him with all our might and soul and everything. So whoever knows God's joy find joy in all things, but whoever knows nothing of Jesus' joy will find no joy in anything. So today's psalm is giving you the confidence and assurance that the Lord is our light and salvation and stronghold of our lives. Jesus is the King. We ought to rely on God for final victory as we dwell in the house of the Lord in all the days of our lives. Amen? Amen. So when God brings us to the light and we get to but realize our sin and help us to repent, and then the light of grace brightens our soul and get to rely on God and more, because that's the moment you get to know him finally. It's their sanctifying grace from starting from there. So like concept, the experiences are hard to grasp. It's not tangible. Therefore, we ought to have our own experience through those metaphorical and imagery words. So through the prayer of psalmist, the King David, is what? The manifestation can happen only through initiation of God. We cannot do anything about it. God is the one, by the grace of God, does all the work. We are just here, surrendering. Amen? That's what psalmist is praying about. By the grace of God, you only need to do is open your heart and mind so that God can work in and through you. So one maxim says, closing your heart and neglecting good deeds help open the doors to the hospital and doctors. Isn't it ironic? It is true, though. As we get older, we realize that man can become more rigid and recalcitrant sometimes, and unable to open and accept a fast-changing society. For example, internet and all everything. So social media, our lives are subject to change as well as other things. Let us make our intention pure and upright, focusing to Jesus Christ. You may find our hope in us. Amen. Without any hindrance. So New Testament text Philippians is one of those interesting verses for me, because my friend and I used to tease one another, saying that we are worshiping our stomach because we always meet and eat. So here it goes. It is, in a way, true. Think of it. Because of all those inundated advertisement and TV commercials in regards to eating in restaurants and food, it's amazing how much time and money we spend on eating. So someone stood me up for an appointment the other day, and I had to eat alone where I was not desired to do so. Anyway, it was a good experience for me to realize how foolishly and absurdly people spend their money. It costed me $72 to have an insufficient meal, quantity-wise, and absurdly not scrumptious quality-wise. So you know what? With $50 per month, we can support a child in underdeveloped country for a month of his or her education. It is a fact, because I know that I pledged myself to do so for a girl for the next 10 years, until she gets older, so that she would be able to independently be stand alone. Please don't get me wrong. Having a special meal with your extra money of yours and from time to time is not sin. What I am trying to say is that balancing out our actions and words are so important, because your children will do the same as they've seen them, right? And man is not able to save himself or world unless he is guided by God's Spirit. As Saint Augustine says, goodness is absence of evil. When we are asked, especially as a pastor, why do these things, evil things, I mean, occur if God is able to prevent them? Besides theodicy, theodicy is a theological term that God is above all that evil happenings. The problem of evil, namely, has always plagued in my mind of man, the mind of man. Much of evil which we experience is caused by man's folly and ignorance, of also by the misuse of freedom. Man-centered or science-centered arrogance. Let us take a narrower look at the universe. So today's Gospel of Luke, what are we getting from it? We can take the Gospel of Luke as an imagery of Jesus. First, the healer, the great physician of the body and soul who performed healing miracle, as well as the sorrow for Jerusalem. He says, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and many leave there as enemies. Now these days, many live as enemies of the cross of Jesus, cross of Christ. The Philippians verses 19 says, their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame, and we eagerly await the Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. God is asking you today to come to the throne of God and healed so that you could press on for the goal of his kingdom. Secondly, the Jesus as the Son of God and the King, seeking Jesus' face, not as a sufferer, but as a victor who, as a Son of God, overcame and resurrected. Amen. Can you imagine Apostle Paul wrote this epistle while he was in prison in Rome? He is full of joy writing this for those people who are bickering over small disagreement and as a result affecting the whole unity of the body in the body of Christ. He wrote this in the prison. I had a chance to visit that prison as a tourist, and it is amazing to imagine how could he have written those unbelievable epistles in that gruesome and devastating atmosphere. It's contradicting, but still it is the truth. Today's Old Testament Genesis is a promise and a covenant of God to Abraham, Abraham, before he became Abraham. So he's known as the father of faith, we all know. And Abraham believed the Lord as he credited it to him as righteousness. Considering his circumstances and his age, it was unbelievable to bear his own child. Nevertheless, he believed. We need that kind of trust and confidence. Do you believe?
We believe.
Amen. Amen. So we will be celebrating Easter soon, before you know it. And if you have not decided to do anything for this Lent yet, we're going over Romans, which is the gem of New Testament as a Bible study group. It is about grace, the versus law, and grace we all need as much as possible, such a time as this. And please join us to share your grace, what God has done in your life, while we study Paul's life. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this is my prayer, that you seek Jesus' face this Lent to be strengthened, empowered, and nourished, and filled with joy. Let us pray. O God, we give thanks to you, O Lord. We call on your name, and you are all known among the nations, what you have done. And glory in your name, holy name, let the heart of those who seek the Lord rejoice. O God, we give thanks for this opportunity going over and seeking your face one more time and focusing on you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.